This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, letter grades, ladies and gentlemen. Letter grades. 713-572-4610. The Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line is what that is. What's your letter grade for the Texans? That's what comes after the NFL draft. We give grades based off of what? Who knows? Do we know anything?
Our knowledge.
But we do this. It's an obligation, actually. I'm pretty sure it was in my contract.
Yeah.
When you talk on the radio, we got to do draft grades. It's above me.
I saw a draft grade. I think it was like a graphic sheet at all the teams. Mm-hmm. Everybody had A's and B's. I'm like, are y'all serious?
Because you don't know.
Every team?
How can it be an F?
Every team. It's I'm like, damn, y'all pretty nice. I wish y'all was my teacher.
I want that teacher.
Man. A's and B's, everybody.
That's right.
All 32.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, man, let's look at some what these, experts are giving the Texans and, I guess, some of the other teams in the AFC South, because obviously that's who you're contending with on a more, on a smaller basis or more intimate level. Let's start with ESPN, because Mel Kiper Jr.,
well, I know what he gave the Browns.
He did give the Browns an A plus. That is a thing.
I didn't even see it, and I knew that.
He said that they had their team needs with quarterback, wide receiver, edge rusher, running back.
A plus.
All that. He talked about the shocker trading.
Is there
back
anything higher than A plus?
Draft two quarterbacks, two running backs, and defensive A plus, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
They hit the needs, which is interesting because. With the Texans not going like as heavily need, drafting as I guess some might have expected, and I say some, including myself, not to, push myself out, I was interested to see what people said. And for Mel Kiper Jr., he gave them a B+, talking about the top needs being wide receiver, tackle, and guard, which they addressed two of those three in their first three picks. Now, mind you, of course, that started in the second round, but, he talks about all of the movement and shaking when it comes to wide receivers, when you talk about injuries and Stephon Diggs moving on, and then offensive line. So he points to the fact that you got Jaden Higgins, 6'4", explosive on the outside, Jalen Noel, speed after the catch burst, and then obviously Ariante Ursary, known as Tay, 6'6", 331, big boy.
Thank goodness he's known as Tay.
That why? Because you can't say Ariante ain't that hard.
I don't want to be saying Ariante.
Ariante?
Ariante is easy.
Tay Ursary.
Okay. All right.
By the way, before we move on, since we're playing this game, what would you guys, and I'll give mine as well, what would you give the Texans as a grade? We haven't even done that, and we're in the business of doing that. What grade would you give the Texans?
I also will give it a B+. Mm-hmm. I think it was good. I think I love what you did wide receiver wise. Like, I know that there's a lot of people clamoring for weapons. I see you was having to Larry Stafford along with everybody else. And I think that you did that to a good degree. I do think that then what was left out was not applying more talented competition to this offensive line. And you're really depending on guys who maybe on the backside of their careers and maybe sliding to hold on and put together a good offensive line with Nick Cayley and Cole Popovich's instruction. And I can't be certain of that going in. I guess my certainty doesn't matter. Ultimately is what they put on the field and how they are able to do it. But I don't feel great about that even still after the draft. And so that is the difference between B+ and getting some level of A plus, something in there.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Reggie on this. I'm going to give them a B+. I think I don't want to say drop the ball in the first round. Mm-hmm. I think they did what was smart, was their person wasn't there.
Yeah.
They couldn't trade up, and so they traded out and got more picks. But I do think they addressed the wide receiver position a lot more than we all would have thought. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they was going to take two receivers like that. And I don't know how to feel about Ariante. It looked like I was listening to John Harris. Mm-hmm. I think day three when they drafted him, and he was.
Ariante was day two because he was in the second round, but
or day two. Yeah, no, I think he. I was listening day three. He was talking about.
Gotcha.
He was him and Sean Pendergast was breaking down the picks, mm-hmm. and he mentioned how he think he could probably play inside too.
Yeah.
So I think that bumps it up to a B plus for me because you got that guy who could probably start off in the inside and maybe mm-hmm. work it. Maybe that is the future left tackle. I don't know, but.
Is John Harris still in his afterglow mode for Woody Marks?
My boy was post-coital. My boy was post-coital. I don't know that he has ever been that happy in his life.
Man.
My bad. You know what? I'll put my hand up. Mea culpa. I will get you the audio of John Harris.
Oh, my goodness.
Enjoying himself
goodness.
With finding out.
He really enjoyed himself.
Jaquavius Woody Marks was going to be a Houston Texan.
Yeah, dude needed a cigarette and a sandwich.
We'll get there. We will absolutely get there.
Just for the record, I will give him a B-plus as well. And, you know, my gut was true to me in this draft. My gut kept saying, they're going to go wide receiver. They got to go wide receiver. They went wide receiver twice. And so I like that. And what did I kept saying to you guys via text and otherwise? Am I going to get my running back? They got their running back, so I'm there with you. But what else on the AFC South?
All right, I actually wanted to give you another one just to kind of be able to juxtapose. This is from The Athletic, and this is, I mean, Dane Brugler, a guy who you know that I'm very fond of, maybe a little less so now, finding out that with this draft, he has the Texans ranked 24th when it comes to the draft class. Mm-hmm. Now, I appreciate the 713 on the text line saying draft grades are pointless, man. Agreed. We're doing it.
We got to do something right
but
now.
On the backside of it, they also gave their draft objective grade at a B+. So I thank you for participating, even if you do so under protest. But he mentioned his favorite pick being Jalen Noel, right? You know where they did a good job. The Texans did a job addressing potentially left tackle, bolstering the receiver depth chart, things that we talked about that were very evident. He said that the day three pick who could surprise is Jalen Reed, the safety.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously playing very aggressive. Sometimes he can be a little over-aggressive and miss, but, you know, ultimately you still have the physical tackles and then also ball production. And so getting him on a day three instead of in day two, he really liked him. But ultimately I was like 24th. But I think that speaks to, again, for me, this team was not necessarily draft. Well, not necessarily. I don't think they were drafting to fill starter or really like large role player holes, right? I think outside of your top three,
maybe
picks
Higgins,
had,
yeah,
Higgins, Noel, maybe yeah. Like I think you, I got two guy like two starter spots possibly, three guys that I think could possibly be starters on this team this season, and very much everything else was just get some guys that can get in here and compete and maybe add in, do some special team stuff, and you know help make your team
who's your
younger.
Third one?
And so it's Higgins, Noel, Tay, Ariante, Ursary.
Okay. Okay.
Outside of that, I don't see any. Do you see another guy who like could be a starter this season?
Well, not a starter, but I could see big reps with Woody Marks. I'm not John Harris, but I was. I'm a fan of that pick very much. Splitting it with Joe Mixon, you know, something along those lines. And then the other one that is very intriguing to me. You talked about Jalen Reed, a steal. You know, they said it was kind of a steal at number 187. Luke Lachey, their final pick, number 255.
Yeah.
That dude is a blocker. He's not going to catch a lot of passes. May not catch three all season. But if he could.
Damn, three? The over-under is 2.5?
I'm exaggerating a little bit. But he is not here to catch passes. He is here to block. His dad was a hell of a tackle in the NFL.
His dad not Nick Lachey?
No, not Nick Lachey. Okay. It was the other Lachey. Intrigue. Intrigue is what I'm saying.
Yeah, man. Underneath target, smooth, but he is there to block, which that makes sense, especially if you wanted a guy who could add in the blocking game. You either kind of had to get one of those guys at the very top, and you know that's somewhat. And then the blocking tight ends were around that space where you got one, which was cool. But you want to talk a little bit about some of these other teams in the AFC South?
Yeah, man.
Right. And I will continue to kind of utilize Dane Brugler here and see how you feel about that. The Tennessee Titans in your division, they were ranked. They had the 8th best class according to Dane Brugler offensively. Obviously, getting Cam Ward, but adding an edge rusher in Oluwafemi Oladejo, and then adding a safety in the third round as well. And then they had three fourth-round picks, including adding one of my favorite players to watch when I actually watched Stanford, in Elik Ayamanor, mm-hmm. who feels like he has a high ceiling with just being a talented guy, but it's very raw. And then also they got Gunnar Helm as well. So like they've got some interesting players that I think could be really important. They hit on a lot of areas in need. And so how did you feel about the Titans and their draft? Obviously they get the quarterback in Cam Ward, but they added some things around the edges that really could at least bring the floor of their roster up.
And the sheer number impressed me. Six players in the first four rounds. The numbers alone give them some flexibility. The team that I've said it, just kind of starting to worry me a little bit. I keep saying, don't worry about the Jags. Don't worry about the Jags. I thought the Jags had a real good draft.
Yeah. Travis Hunter at the top. Yeah. I'm just so interested to see how they ultimately decide to utilize him. But outside of that, they add a cornerback, which they definitely needed to some degree. They let go of Ronald Darby, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wyatt Milam, a guard out of West Virginia. And then they add Bashel Tuten, a running back in the fourth round, so he will kind of filter into what has been a pretty solid running back core. Mm-hmm. When you talk about Tank Bigsby being in there and ETN, they typically keep a couple of them that can do a little bit of something. And then they add some linebackers and some defensive players as you go down further in the draft. So it really is just the top end. Mm-hmm. Having to see Travis Hunter, but will they be able to actually get him the football and have him work with the kind of wild role that they're going to have to try and work, I guess, facilitate.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be an interesting one, but I'm not worried necessarily as much because of where he stands comparatively to the incredible defensive secondary that you put together. And the Colts came in at 27 mm-hmm. on this. So not a super highly regarded draft, but still they did a good thing at the very top where you go Tyler Warren.
Yeah, that's the only thing there.
They add the Ohio State edge, JT Tuimoloau. And so they add those guys. I think that's really the interesting part of it. Outside of that, I don't know that there's much that really shakes me or moves me. But the division, I don't know. I think that there's definitely mm-hmm. some floor raising, but I don't know. And maybe it wasn't the draft. This is a meat and potatoes draft. I don't know if this is the draft that was going to raise the fortunes of all these teams in such a way where I think that they become some level of danger to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there you go. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping here, including, did y'all see that CBS interview of Bill Belichick? We'll talk about that and the possibility that we're getting closer to seeing Lance McCullers. We'll talk about it next.